Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir, joined by Kerry Warbis, who's just warned me that during the recording of this, she's going to move on from red wine to cherry brandy.
Yeah, well, it was bought for me for my birthday. I love cherry things, and Mimi and Max bought me some cherry brandy liqueur, but it's quite posh cherry brandy liqueur, not that sort of, you know, that one everyone knows with the thin neck and then it goes into a funny shape. This is like gorgeous. So I thought I'd have a go.
Listeners, Kerry has just drilled a hole into a whole bunch of Christmas liqueurs that she's got left over from 2014.
Matthew, what do you think of me?
That
really, isn't it?
No, I know your love of all things cherry. I am promised to you in that I will bring you a bottle of ginger when I come over. So it will happen at some point.
You just said you might be coming in a couple of weeks, Matthew. Put a reminder in your phone about that cherry stuff.
Okay, I will.
That means I have to come and visit you in Bristol, though, doesn't it, somehow?
Well, or maybe the countryside. Bring your wellies down and come and get all muddy.
I have actually got some wellies.
Well, there you go. You'll be fine. Yeah. We did a midweeker this week. We had some quite interesting points. We'll circle back to that later because it kind of stems into some things that are mentioned this week. I am fully regretting saying last week this. Can I just say something? I miss Chris. And Kerry made a funny noise when I said that.
Yeah, well.
Do you know what it is? I was enjoying Chris for a while he isn't stressed, crying, angry, anxious. But I'm worried now that his lot is to always be that character.
It's sad that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when he was being the sensitive, quite mature, let's get along, it's all for the sake of Martha, clearly you can tell that there are underlying loves for Alice still happening there. But it's really refreshing when those two get along, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're led to believe that this Harry stuff has kicked up a lot of dust for him.
Mm-hmm.
Were Bert alive, he would be in the bull right now, playing cribbage and vomiting all over him.
But yeah, that's a nice image, isn't it? But I do still think Chris had a point of where he was coming from was concern for Alice, concern for Martha, perhaps in the other way, or other order. He just can't express it in a calm way, can he? He has to just go from naught to 60 in 2 seconds, like Harry's Robin Reliant.
Or his Badger Mini. To his credit, he did say, can we leave it for today? Because it's Mother's Day. And Alice pushed him.
And 5 seconds later, he was shouting.
What was it she said to him? Something she said set him off.
I can't remember, Matthew. What the bloody hell was it?
There was something she said that was a bit of a hair trigger for him. You know, I mean, you don't get this analysis elsewhere, do you?
This sort of vague notion that we might have listened to an episode.
I mean, I've listened twice and I can't
remember. Is it about farming, Matthew? Vaguely. They don't live in the city, do they?
No, I think they just drive tractors around Shoreditch. Isn't that what we've been listening to all these years?
Yeah, and put on funny accents.
Why they're getting so fussed about an EV charging station, God knows. Yeah, I tell you what, Kerry, at that point, in terms of collecting our thoughts, let's take a little break.
Cool.
This spring, prepare to be amazed by the most unlikely medical documentary to ever hit your screens. One hospital is about to experience the most bizarre experiment in healthcare history. The BBC presents Martha's Bug Hospital.
Why is a mayfly performing my mother's colonoscopy?
I may not have a medical degree, but I've got heart. Somewhere in these tiny wings.
Is that cockroach qualified?
Oops, that wasn't the appendix, was it?
Don't miss this fly on the wall extravaganza.
Oh my God, they've swatted Barry, the thoracic surgeon?
What was it he said?
She said something about, we're honest or we're good, aren't we? And she went, are we? It was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, but probably because he was getting a right pod on.
I thought things were good between us. We're doing really well, aren't we?
Are we?
Ha ha.
Yes.
What a shame. It's all about Harry. He's being protective. Again, like if he'd said the same words, but in a calm demeanour, Alice probably just would have answered everything. He's got anger management problems, hasn't he? And used to have.
Yeah, well, I mean, no one gets a job hitting pieces of metal into a horse's foot by accident, Kerry.
No, and it's also just occurred to me that it was Mother's Day and Martha's Day.
What you don't see at Chris's job is he doesn't use a hammer.
It's his head.
Just nothing. Oh, by the way, I have to say, probably the most liked tweet I've ever put out regarding Martha and the Archers on Sunday. When you realise Martha dressed up as a caterpillar and her parents are Chris Alice.
Oh, genius, Matthew.
It's gone right off.
That's it. Popped off.
And the Silver Jacket tweet went nuts over the weekend as well. It went over 30K.
It's funny how that happens, isn't it, sometimes with biggies. People just discover them again.
Someone with loads of followers retweets it, don't they? Yeah, you think Chris was coming from a good perspective, but with very bad delivery.
Yeah, very clumsy. And I'm not saying he's wholly correct.
No, that's Alan.
Yes. He's, you know, like he's very accusatory, isn't he? He's sort of like, doesn't really give Alice a chance to say, well, I didn't have any clue. And as soon as I did have a clue, I dropped him. Oh, I don't know. Difficult, isn't it?
It comes across as quite misogynistic.
That he doesn't trust her. He thinks she should. Also not really understanding alcoholism as well.
No. And I think in his weird read on it, he feels like two alcoholics were shacked up together behind his back. Because he's like, were you drinking together? Were you having parties? Were you on the cherry brandy?
Oi. Yeah, but I think imagining Martha in peril and thinking that they were about to get in a car with a drunkard would be a worry if you had a small child that you think, like, you want your child's partner's, ex-partner's partner to be solid. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you've been in situations, it doesn't even need a kid, does it? As you get older and your awareness of what's going on around you, quite often I've been like, I don't think we should be getting in a car with that person.
Right, yeah.
So when you throw a kid into the mix, your kid, of course you're going to be shitty about that. There were better ways of doing it than he did it. But absolutely. Here we are. We're stuck with Alice and Chris at each other's throats again, which is not what I wanted. When Chris was back last week, I quite enjoyed it. When he was kind of making small talk with Harrison, I thought it was all right. And I feel like we've got two options with those two. Should they still be in the show? They get back together or they're always going off at each other. And
yeah.
I certainly would prefer the former to the latter.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm mainly worried about, though, Matthew, with these two is whether he will get the ceramic Wellington boot with a face on for Father's Day.
I mean, it's nice of Will to donate some of his pottery, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably isn't a Wellington boot at all.
What are you talking about?
Venus de Milo.
That's meant to be Meatloaf singing to Bonnie Tyler.
I quite liked the reference to Martha not playing with the doll's house whatsoever, and she's just made a bug hospital out of yogurt pots instead. So poor old Harrison's gift. She'll like it later. She's probably a bit young, isn't she? Harrison's probably playing with it anyway.
Oh, hello, little dolly. What's that? Here, Barbie, don't tell anyone I told you this, but that Harry is an alcoholic. Oh, Jesus, she's already... Well, all right, Ken, you're going to have to talk to Gaffer.
They did, though, then. Alice visited Chris at the blacksmith's, didn't she? After that Mother's Day, Martha's Day row. And he kind of was a little bit calmer, saying he just can't forget what's happened before. Whereas she seems to have just moved on from the agony that she caused. And she apologised for all the stuff that she can't actually change. Then it ended a bit later that they agreed that Martha is the most important thing. And that was nicely, right, we're back to square one, hopefully.
Yeah, it didn't start well, did it? Where Chris was like, I didn't ask for this meeting. And Alice was like, well, if it's a meeting then, here's the agenda, you big fucking prick. And he was like, no need to be petty. A bit heavy, but that's the thing about addiction, isn't it? it wrecks everyone's fucking life that is involved around it.
Yeah.
Of course, Alice has to try and move on. She has to try and forget about it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
There's that whole thing in the program, isn't it, that you have to go around and apologize to everyone. All right, fine. But at some point, you also have to say, I have to try and be positive. And of course, people who were affected by it, who weren't it, they weren't the addict, they still sometimes, particularly if it's your ex-partner, and the whole reason your relationship broke down was because of that addiction, you're going to be there being like, am I allowed to feel a bit sorry for myself? I mean, he was basically said to her, you've got a sponsor, I haven't.
I know. Well, and actually Kate said something quite pertinent in the tea room on the Sunday when she was having her vegan afternoon tea to Alice. She said, like, you should focus on your own journey of healing. And it's true. And Chris needs to do something about sorting his own journey of healing out. God, I sound really bloody sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, but that is entirely self-serving because Kate's just opened up a roller coaster called Your Own Self Journey of Healing at Spiritual Home.
A roller coaster?
Yeah, it's one of those ones you put a VR headset on and you just imagine you're on.
Okay, yeah. So that was just a sales pitch, was it?
Yeah.
For a new tent.
So you need to focus on that thing over there, which I've spent a lot of your money on. Mm-hmm. That conversation took place in the tea room.
Yeah.
What was a foot in the tea room, Kerry?
A foot. Is there a foot on the wall as well?
There probably is. Foot. A head, a foot.
Now, the week began with George and Tony erecting the cowhides in the tea room, didn't it? They're soft, they're glossy. What about the cowhides, though?
They did say you could almost stroke them. Kerry, what's the catchphrase that my friend yelled across a pub at someone once?
Who are you stroking? Is it?
Yes. The tragedy of that was a couple of weeks ago, there was a very good bit on the podcast, which could not stay in for at least two reasons. But in the middle of that was irremovable, was I told Kerry that I was once in a very darkened pub called the Hillgrove in Bristol. And me and my friend Rian were looking across at a couple there. And we were trying to figure out, there was a pub cat. And I was like, I don't know if she's stroking his inner thigh or stroking the cat. And I was trying to be subtle. And my friend Rian just yelled out, who are you stroking? And then it became a thing. And Kerry repeated it. Although she didn't repeat it because it hadn't appeared previously in the podcast. So there's a big explainer.
Oh, Tony was all for encouragement of the tea room customers to stroke the tactile charm of the hides, wasn't he? Yeah.
I think George was stroking himself when Fallon got involved in the debate, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He just agrees with anything she says, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just basically. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they are a bit dark, and Fallon's going, actually, no, look at them, they're a bit light. Yeah, they are light, Fallon. You're dead right there.
I have really, really enjoyed George this week. He's been spectacularly good.
His apprentice-style intervention on the Will.
Yes.
The Will.
These
M&A.
Clowns, what are you doing?
Yeah. You go, all right, yeah, you're doing a, how's your tree surgery going then? And then, what, our house as capital? With these fucking clowns, they live in a caravan.
I loved that line. What are you doing? They live in a fucking caravan. Earlier on as well, when George bowled into the room, and he went, what are you celebrating? And Emma went, well, it's our three-way relationship.
Yes.
I wouldn't go around shouting that in the village, not with your track record.
He said to, don't be a mug. It's not a mug, George. It's a ceramic Wellington boot.
With a face on. Oh, he's been so good. He just brings a good edge to, I know he's sort of inherently got dodginess, but I love him being in this bloody programme.
Yeah, it's good to have him back.
Mm. There was a bit as well with George where Will said, well, I've taken on board your suggestions and I'm going to show the business plan to Brian in the pub. Do you want to come with me? And they went wandering down the lane, didn't they, with weird sound effects as if they both have wooden shoes on. And there was this discussion, wasn't there, about, you know, what you need in life to be successful is hard work, not being relying on luck and being an influencer. And George said, yeah, well, I don't really want to be a farmer all my life. But he's persuading him to sort of get involved in the family business. It's family, isn't it? All that family shite. Like, as bad as EastEnders, isn't it? the family.
One of those things I realised this week, how it's really easy to get a licence as an undertaker.
Oh. What do you think, George could be one of them?
Yeah, he could be the Grundertaker.
Anyway, back to the Grundy tree surgery project. What did you think of Will going all Dragon's Den apprentice about the business plan and suddenly speaking like he'd never spoken before?
There was discussion of KPIs.
Mm. KPIs. Yeah, what you haven't factored in here is the cost of all them cravats you've got to wear while you're doing your tree surgery. Your whiskey budget is way off target here. You can't go whoring every night when you cut a tree down. It can only be once a week.
Did you find it slightly unbelievable that Justin softened enough to give Emma 30 minutes of his time for free?
No, because Brian was mentioned, so he immediately went, right, I'm in competition with him, I'll do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and with those two being involved in this shoddy old setup, do you think the competitiveness in those two is going to mean that they'll both kind of want to get involved in it somehow, financially, or back it, or sort of try to help it succeed, or not bother with it at all? I don't know.
Will and George doing a tree surgery business for Justin, and Emma and Ed doing one for Brian, or vice versa. And they're just tree wars every couple of months in the Archers.
God. Well, when Will was going through Brian's notes and he was saying, you know, your projections based on future customers has a gaping hole in it. Looks like the golf course, the Laurels, the industrial estates around Felpsham, Borchester, all the schools in the area, anywhere that's got trees you haven't really looked at. It was just, what had they thought of, I wonder?
I think they thought they were just going to go into a forest and chop all the trees down, like some kind of massacre.
And who else is dealing with these trees anyway? There must be some tree. Actually, there is a character, isn't there? Is it Jamie, who was a tree surgeon, who's not been heard of for many a year?
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
Is he in the area or not? And has Jamie got an LX47 rapier?
I thought that was your brand of washing machine, Kerry.
It's fixed.
Well, listeners of the regular podcast won't know, but Kerry had a bit of drama and it was talked about on our Patreon special, Kerry. Yeah.
I mean, if you want an incentive to sign up to Patreon, you can hear what my washing machine sounded like when it was going wrong if you become a Patreon and go back to the episode for this week.
I absolutely did not add anything else to that clip.
No. And do you know what? Oh, this lovely pair came round, father and son, and their company name is B&J. And I told my kids and they were laughing their heads off. I didn't really realise. I said, why didn't they put J and B?
So they were good, right? They didn't suck.
They didn't suck, no. And they got my bra wire out of the washing machine. Bosh.
Did we do all of the tree surgery stuff? Anything else you want to say about it?
They celebrated with whiskey. That was quite, you know, it was a Christmas present or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Ed had got it from one of the mob at BL or something like that, I think. And then it very charitably said of his brother, I hope he chokes on it. It's the second week we've had wishing someone else chokes on something they've ingested.
Mm.
All right, Kerry, let's take a little break and talk about the main vet in your life.
From the fevered minds that brought you parkour in the pub, strap in for the latest bright idea to hit Ambridge. Lacrosse at the Laurels. Helmet up, everyone. This could get a little rough.
Peggy! No!
Caroline! Oh, fuck! Someone call the bug hospital!
How on earth are we meant to score with Sykesy in their goal for fuck's sake?
Lacrosse at the Laurels. Rated PG.
Now I'm worried there's another vet in your life, Gary. And he listens to this podcast.
A Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bloody lovely not having Denise and Alistair in it. Did you agree?
I noticed, actually. I've been Denised. I called him Alistair on the Patreon. As I heard it when I was doing a test listen, I was like making the bed at the time. I immediately punched myself in the face.
Completely rational, Chris-like response to something fairly minor.
Yeah. I would love it if Alistair and Denise left the practice and it was just Paul and Jakob from now on.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it about Alistair and his choice of women? They're quite bloody bland, aren't they? What's that all about?
I don't know. He's a bland magnet.
But it's interesting. Like, Shula was obviously horrific. Boring, boring, weird, weird, horrible woman. And now Denise is a bit meh and a bit dull.
But she wasn't brought in as that, was she? She was brought in as the risky other. Temptation, forbidden fruit, all of that kind of stuff. That whole thing where she modelled the dress that Chelsea gave
her. Yeah.
And she was like, it looks fantastic. And Chelsea went, 25 quid? Yeah. Like, what?
And there was a real warmth to her and I thought, oh, interesting. And that's all gone away. It's fallen away.
Why do you think that is? Is it us or is it them? This feels like a breakup.
Yeah. Being generous, it might be because her marriage is falling apart. Her mind is on that, maybe, as a character. And so she's a bit distracted by all of that, I suppose.
Is it now that they're actually kind of getting it on and it's all out in the open that it's not as much fun as it was before?
Yeah, but I think they think that it is all fun, that cupboard shenanigans and stuff. I feel like there's zero chemistry between the pair of them.
If you're having sex in a medical store cupboard, that relationship shelf life is pretty bad.
We will see. It was a blessed relief that they weren't involved this week.
But Paul and Jakob were.
Yes, they were. That was a humdinger, wasn't it? There is genuine affection between the pair of them, isn't there, actually?
I think so. It's just they are polar opposites as personalities.
Yeah, and I liked hearing Jakob saying, actually, the fact that you chat all the time really helps me out because I just don't want to be doing that.
I f***ing hate people, Paul. Thanks yeah. for sponging up the morons when they come into the practice so I don't have to talk to them.
And it is, you know, he literally just said, like, your energy and compassion that you bring to this surgery, I actually really enjoy it. He complimented him on rearranging the merchandise and putting the canine Easter eggs near the dog leads. That was his in, wasn't it, to start the conversation, bless him.
I believe I've mentioned this before, Kerry, but in Bristol, a dog egg is something quite different.
Oh, it's a shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a dog shit.
Yeah, you did really well arranging all those dog shits near the dog leads, because it now makes sense to the customers.
Well, better a dog egg than a cheese egg.
Have a cheese egg.
Yes. Is it a shit or... well, maybe.
Yeah. Here you go. Welcome to our new section. Shit or cheese?
Shit egg. Cheese egg. Yeah.
Village or shitage?
Jakob hated having upset Paul. It put him in a right old tears. He lost his keys. He was shouting at a coffee machine. And Kate actually calmed him right down. She's been quite good this week.
Yeah. And then she went for lunch with Paul. Was that? No, it was in the tea room, wasn't it? They went and had soup
together. Did they? I thought her and Paul went to a pub.
Yeah, but that was after. They happened upon each other in the tea room.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Because he mentioned how Fallon gets all of these root vegetables together and makes them into liquid gold. It's like, it's the secret ingredient, mate.
Yes.
We all know what that is.
Yeah, she puts in quiches, in soups, in Harrison's tea.
Can you remember either of Kate's horse jokes?
Something to do with cough syrup.
Cough syrup, yeah.
And reining it in or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean,
later?
That's a common one, isn't it?
Have you got any more?
A white horse walks into a pub and says, I'll have a whiskey, please. And the barman says, that's a coincidence. We've got a whiskey named after you. And he goes, what, Eric?
That was good, that, Matthew. Why the long face? Yes, so they got on very well, didn't they? Kate and Paul, she was saying, don't ever change. They had a right laugh in the pub.
She said, everyone thinks I'm a twat. I don't care. Yeah.
I piss everyone off, but it's take it or leave it, to be frank.
Isn't that the bloody mantra of the whole family? The Aldridges and the Archers, though. Everyone hates us. They're Millwall, aren't they? Everyone hates us. We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I suppose. Why worry about what people think about you? We don't. We don't bloody worry. Are we the Millwall of podcasts?
No, we don't care really what people think. We love it when people say nice things, but we don't take anything nasty to heart. You can't.
Hey, have we got any smart targets?
Yeah, I've got a smart target.
Oh, no.
No, I haven't.
Oh, haven't you? Oh, yeah. My smart tweet was, stop making Ambridge ridiculously toilet.
And then they had a pyjama party.
Oh, he's got soft pyjamas. That's nice.
Is he just wearing the cowhides? Because they all started stroking him.
Yeah, his tactile pyjamas. Yeah, because he was looking forward to his quiet evening at home. He's got a book to read, hasn't he? And then in bowl these two, pissed up, wanting more drinks. But he graciously said, no, it's fine. Crack on. He's a good man, isn't he, Jakob?
He confided in Paul as well that she's a force of nature, didn't he?
Yeah, they are a funny pairing.
Shouldn't work. I think everyone said that at the time. I mean, it was lust at the beginning, wasn't it?
That's what happened with me and you, really, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah, exactly.
You're Jakob, I'm Kate.
Yeah. There was that scene in the monologues.
The monologues.
Do you remember when Kate was teaching a Zoom yoga class? And she was getting the right horn on, looking at Jakob.
Oh, God.
Striking poses. And she's like, no, back in the room, Kate. Must focus.
Yes, I do. Gosh, that feels like a long, long time ago.
It was a long, long time ago.
Speaking of people getting a bit horny, what about Brian's new love interest?
Oof, yeah. Well, he got read his Miranda rights, didn't he?
What an absolutely delicious voice she has.
Amazing.
Because she is daughter of someone famous, isn't she? Let me just look it up. Tap, tap, tap. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. I can see her face.
Are you a medium, Kerry?
This is what happens when I try to Google something. It doesn't work. Yeah, I can see her face. It's a recognisable face. And actually, she's married too. She's actually married. I'm feeling she's married to Justin character in real life. Isn't she?
I know that they used to do a lot of press stuff together, didn't they? So maybe.
Lucy Fleming.
That's it.
Okay, now let me see who her parents are.
The guy who created Bond, Ian Fleming.
It could be. Oh, she's the second. She is the second daughter of the actress Celia Johnson, who was in Brief Encounter, right? You can tell, can't you?
Yeah.
And the writer Peter Fleming, who's the brother of James Bond author Ian Fleming.
There you go.
Yeah.
And do you know where Ian Fleming was when he came up with the idea for James Bond?
In the Bull.
He's in Portugal, apparently.
Oh.
In Estoril.
Oh, goodness. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. It took a long time, but...
Yeah, yes. And she is getting it on with Justin, yeah.
She's not getting it on with Justin.
No, she's getting it on with Simon Williams, who plays Justin, right?
Yeah. Sorry. Yes, they are married.
I used to live with a guy that used to get really angry about that. He'd be like, look at this. And it would be like the Daily Mirror TV pages. And he was like, tonight in this drama, Danny Glover's son has a problem with heroin. He was like, it's not Danny Glover's son. It's an actor, Danny Glover, pretending to be a guy with another actor pretending to be his son.
So they're real acting royalty, aren't they, that pair? Well, in real life.
And then you've got Matt Crawford and Ruth Archer are a couple in real life.
Yeah. Oh, God. She used to be in Survivors, which was a BBC post-apocalyptic drama series in the 1970s. I mean, this is before your time, but I used to watch that. It was brilliant. I knew her face from somewhere.
Is that the one where they were on a cruise ship? Or that was...
No,
was that Triangle?
No. Post-apocalyptic.
Have you ever been on one of those cruises?
No, nor do I wish to. But Survivors was bloody great. Honestly, it was proper BBC drama. The world had gone mad and you had to sort of roam the countryside scavenging for food. A bit like now, really.
Yes. Sounds like The Archers.
Yes. I'll always remember this horrid actor who had right pointy out teeth. Well, she was. I'll have to find. Eating a raw egg really close on the camera because he was so hungry. Oh, my God. That's an abiding memory. Anyway, I've drifted off somewhere, haven't I?
You have, haven't you? So Miranda's Sorry, back. We're all very happy.
Yeah. Do write in, listeners, if you used to watch Survivors in the 70s.
Yeah. Or if you've survived this podcast.
Yes. I congratulate you if you have got this far. Yeah, I love her. Great, spicy, speaks her mind. Sounds very fun as well, I think.
I'm not sure she was at a party with a hot tub. She could have just been back at the hotel pretending, but either way, it's the image it casts, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Do you reckon she'll know stuff about Harry?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, she said that party, which you think was non-existent, you know, it was at a jockey's house. I was just thinking maybe she'll know him and tell Brian stuff about him.
It was Jockey Wilson, Kerry.
Was it? Well, I'd quite like to go to one of his parties.
I would too. If there was a hot tub at Jockey Wilson's house, I'm there.
He'd probably fill it, wouldn't he? There'd be sort of like no water left in it. It'd just be a Jockey Wilson tub.
Oh, it's taken a turn tonight.
I haven't even started the cherry brandy, by the way.
So Brian lied about, well, he wasn't lying. He was economic with the truth, wasn't he, about where he was going in Borchester?
What? Who to?
To Justin.
Oh, right. Well, that doesn't matter, does it? That doesn't count as a lie to me. You see, that's why I was thinking, what? Who did he lie to? I thought Brian was going to say, I'm feeling good. I'm meeting your ex-wife later. It's good, isn't it? Anything that pisses Justin off is great.
And Justin himself was like, she was great. He completely wrote her off as a person. And then Brian said, well, that sounds just like you, Justin.
Yeah.
And he went, but she was great fun. Don't tell Lillian.
Yeah, she does sound fun. I'm excited about this.
Has she ever done aerobics to Acid Jazz, though?
That was Paul, wasn't it?
Kate, I think, wasn't
it? Oh, was it? It could have been either, to be honest. Yeah, that was when they were comparing stories about having been in embarrassing situations, was it?
Yeah, Paul stood up in front of the Women's Institute and said, like, I'm a big prick. Or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
When Miranda met him, she was like, oh, you must be here with Jennifer. Where's Jennifer? He's like, well, actually, she's dead.
Here's my card.
Yeah.
Ooh, I did love her dinner parties. Will you go out with me? Yeah.
That lovely kitchen you have, Brian. Like, don't mention the sodding kitchen, okay?
When Brian said, when they were entertaining, Jennifer would be cooking from after breakfast on a Saturday for these bloody dinner parties. Poor love. I mean, she probably liked it. I don't know.
I do that sometimes, though.
All right, Jennifer.
Should we have a little break and talk about our lovely listeners, etc.?
Yes, please.
Get ready to embark on the most thrilling adventure of your life. Introducing Badger's Cafe, The Quest for Mediocrity. The fantasy video game based on the gripping drama of BBC's The Archers. Rule the quaint village of Ambridge with an iron fist, or at least a snell sniff, as you step into the well-worn wellies of your favorite Archers characters. Will you be the lord of the land or the gossiping village shop worker everyone avoids at village fates? The choice is yours. Dive into the polytunnels of doom, where the most perilous challenge is trying to lift 50 grand out of the company accounts without the Cravat King Brian noticing. Battle the evil forces of mundanity as you defend your territory from the dreaded encroachment of change and progress. You must save the cherries. Romance, betrayal, and awkward conversations await as you navigate the tangled web of relationships of Home Farm. Will you pursue a steamy affair with a farmhand? Or will you opt for the safer route of passive-aggressive glances across the Bull Tavern? Build your own empire of apathy as you construct and manage your very own Badger's Cafe. From serving turnip scones to engaging in thrilling conversations about the weather with Lord Tony of the Trains, there's never a dull moment in this riveting game of inaction. Why not play as Leonard, taking on quests that will challenge your ability to procrastinate? Will you finally fix the wonky weather vane? Or will you spend another day defending the fair maiden of Lemon Drizzle from the evil carrot bastard Sykesy? Featuring an epic soundtrack composed entirely of dramatic sighs, the distant bleating of sheep and dross, Badger's Cafe will transport you to a world where excitement never comes, but adventure is just a treacherous step away. Are you ready to embark on the most underwhelming quest of your life? Pre-order Badger's Cafe now and prepare to be mildly entertained.
Badger!
All right, Kerry, we've got some lovely people that support us on Patreon. If you want to join in on Patreon, all you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/thesidershed, become a member. You can do it at any level you choose. There's three basic levels, but we put out a midweeker. We had some comments on that, Kerry. I'm going to let you know what those comments are.
I do love our listener contributions. Well, I hope I do. I haven't heard what they are.
So we've had some comments on our midweek special on Patreon. Mm-hmm. Kate Murray said, in Australia's national anthem, we sing our home is girt by the sea with an I. This is definitely the correct spelling. Not having that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Laura said, aren't Shedheads Shed 7 fans or do they not exist anymore? Well, I pointed out that they're actually playing. They're doing a 30th anniversary tour at the moment, Shed 7, which makes me feel ancient.
Oh, it does a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Liam Rayner said, the croakiness explanation at the end explained the mild arousal throughout. Normally I have to pay a premium rate for that kind of voice. Great episode again, guys.
Guy was aroused by you.
Yeah. Trudy just says, moo moo, and loads of laughing emojis. I temporarily forgot the name of something in current culture and called it a moo moo. Want to know what? Go to Patreon. Rod said, Kate was once upon a time played by Susie Riddell, who's now Tracy. Yeah, we know that. Susie was on the show a few years ago, and she talked about that, how she played a young Kate, because someone did ask us to go back and find an episode with the original Kate actor. I don't know if they meant Susie, because Susie was a whippersnapper when she did that, 15, wasn't she?
Really young, yeah. I mean, we can go back that far.
We can try.
It'd be a right laugh, wouldn't it?
Vivian O'Connor said, great episode, guys. Because of Matthew's recommendation, I have a Now TV subscription to watch Succession. Still on series one.
Viv! Let's chat on Twitter.
Yeah.
I love Viv.
Big love to Viv. Dunk said, classic episode again. Thank you. Village or shitage going from strength to strength. Love it.
See? We might be formulaic, but they love it.
We try. Now, it's not formulaic. We're all over the bloody place.
Whoever said that's a nutter.
Yeah, someone did let us know that we'd been described as formulaic on Reddit. There's a screenshot. That's cool. We don't mind. That person was still nice about us, by the way. But yeah. So we've got some new patrons this week. Let's give them a shout out. First one, Joanna Campbell Black.
Woo!
Joanna Campbell Black. You're here with us in the Cider Shed Patreon. Thanks for supporting us. Now let's...
Badger!
Oh, thanks so much, Joanna. Welcome to the Madhouse.
And you know what? Nina was back in our messages last week, and she's joined up with a patron. So this is for you, Nina.
Welcoming Nina into the Cider Shed Patron Clubhouse. Thanks so much for all your help. Kick back. Relax and stroke.
Badger!
Thanks, Nina. Much appreciated. Also, Gillian.
Hey there, Gillian. Thanks for becoming one of our beloved patrons. We really appreciate it. Anything else? Oh, yeah. Of course.
Badger!
All right, cheers, Gillian. Thank you so much. I can't get out of here without mentioning that Kate has asked us when she's going to get her jingle. You'll get it. That sounds quite threatening, didn't
Bloody
it?
Hell, my...
No, you will get it, Kate. Yeah. Sorry.
No, don't say you'll get it.
But I do have to say, there's been another patron event. Courtney upgraded his account from Tracy's Piggy Bank to Peggy's Money Tree. And for that, he gets this.
Courtney. Upgrade.
Badger your ass, Courtney.
Oh, Courtney. Courtney DMs on our Cider Shed Twitter quite regularly with very funny things. So, yeah, thanks, Courtney. Anyone else who wishes to do similar... More than welcome. Oh, no, that is great. And I think Courtney's London-based. We'll have to get together for a beer. It'll be a right laugh.
There you go. There's a bit of Courtney love going on there. Mm. All right. I'm sure he's heard that joke a million times, so I apologise in advance. Jan Sparrow said on our Facebook, which is the Cider Shed podcast, that's a Facebook group. You can join us there. Denise was on EastEnders this evening.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wanted a bit more about that. You're like, what's she playing? Is it different? Is it?
Well, Adrian has asked, was she as annoying in that as she is in The Archers?
That was my cherry brandy there. Look.
Jana said, sadly, I think yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, I can imagine her sounding exactly the same. There's something about the delivery that I think is fixed.
I did mention that you had said that Baldur's Gate, which is the computer game, video game, adventure game thing, which Adam is up for an Oscar, a BAFTA. Up for a BAFTA in, that you were convinced that the logo reads Badger's Cafe. So I have shared that on the Facebook as well.
Did anyone agree?
No one has agreed so far, Kerry. We have asked as well about who would get Oscars and what would the nominations be in The Archers, and is there anyone you like that no one else can stand? Is there anyone that you can't stand that everyone else loves? We'll get to those comments in our next Patreon because they were really good. Kerry, how do people get in touch with us on Twitter?
On Twitter, we're at the Cider Shed Pod, going strong on there. Blue Sky, we're also available. And it is a quieter place, but actually it's quite sweet. It's nice. We're at thesidershedpod.bsky.social there.
Okay. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, as you should, it's the same as our Twitter, at thesidershedpod.com. Okay, Kerry, you go off and enjoy your cherry brandy.
Yep. I'm going to see a George Michael tribute.
Sorry, Kerry. If his name's not Michael George, I riot.
He's Rob Lamberti.
Oh, so. He fucking missed a trick there, hasn't he?
Michael George. Yeah, he's bloody great and I cannot wait. I'm going with my best friend Kerry and my daughter Mimi, and we're going to a Greek restaurant beforehand to have the full George experience.
We all know that George Michael gigs back in the day had a habit of, in the attendance of the crowd, was a current Princess of Wales. So, Kerry, get your phone ready if you spot her.
Yeah, Kate may well be there, yeah, with Diana, possibly.
I've gone down such a bloody rabbit hole, honestly.
Badger!
Badger!
Fat. I've done the salute.
On that note, see you, everyone.
Bye.
Was that a swig of cherry brandy, Kerry?
Yes.
Good for you. Take care, everyone. Love you.
Bye. Love you, Matthew.
Love you, Kerry.
Hello.
Let's go outside.